Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are shining a light on one of the most crucial yet, well, completely unglamorous functions of the entire legal system.
Totally unglamorous.
We're talking about the reliable, verifiable, and official delivery of court documents.
It's what the industry calls service of process.
Exactly.
And, you know, it sounds like just paperwork logistics, but this is really the bedrock of due process. Before any legal action can actually proceed, before a judgment can be rendered, the other party has to be officially notified that they're involved.
It's like a mandatory legal handshake.
It is, and if it's done incorrectly, the entire case can be jeopardized.
That's the key. So our mission for you today is to go beyond that sort of stereotypical image of a guy in a trench coat chasing someone down.
All right.
We want you to get a quick, thorough understanding of how this whole system operates now in the modern digital era. From the specific steps for, say, initiating service through a secure portal, all the way to the crucial legal context you need to grasp if you find yourself on the receiving end of those papers.
And we've been digging into some very specialized sources for this. Everything from detailed workflow guides, like the ones used by Lafayette Process Servers, to formal disclaimers that really highlight the immense liability involved.
What's the takeaway from those?
What's fascinating is the core commitment these providers make. It's not just delivery. It's a commitment to the utmost care, absolute professionalism, and critically timely and accurate service. Because in the legal world, time isn't just money.
It's jurisdiction.
It's jurisdiction.
That sets the stage perfectly because, I mean, the logistics of this used to be a massive headache. You know, faxes, phone tag.
A total mess.
But now, the sources show us that for the people sending the documents, the process is incredibly streamlined. It's all about these secure portals.
Absolutely. The modern reliance on digital infrastructure has transformed that initial hurdle into a simple, standardized transaction. It's a huge leap in efficiency.
Okay, let's unpack this convenience. Who's actually using these portals?
Well, the target audience is surprisingly wide.
I'd assume mostly big law firms.
For sure, it's designed for attorneys and high volume, but the portals are structured to be accessible to smaller businesses.
And even just individuals, right?
And even individuals who need to officially initiate service. It ensures consistency. Whether you're a massive firm serving a corporation or a single person in a small claims matter, the operational requirements for submitting the documents are identical.
Okay, so using the Lafayette Process Servers portal as our example, the workflow is surprisingly linear.
Very straightforward.
It's structured into three distinct required steps. The first one is just selection and uploading.
Right.
And you can upload multiple documents at once, which is a feature built purely for, you know, volume and speed.
It's the digital equivalent of dropping off a whole stack of papers instead of filing them one by one. But the speed of the upload doesn't negate the precision required for step two.
And step two is where the rubber meets the road, information entry.
Mm-hmm.
You have to provide specific, highly required details. This means the full, accurate legal name of the person or entity being served.
Has to be perfect.
The specific service address, and importantly, any special instructions you might have.
And that information entry, it just has to be flawless because the success of the service hinges on it. And those special instructions, that's often the most crucial piece of data the process server gets.
So what would that be? Like, what kind of instructions?
That's where you put in details like, this is the registered agent for the corporation, or attempt service only between 5 p.m. and 8 p.m.
Ah, because the individual works during the day.
Exactly. Or details about tricky gate access or security codes. You're giving the server a roadmap.
So you're moving beyond just an address to provide the critical context needed to make sure service is successful and legally sound on the first try.
Precisely. Successful service is all about following the rules of the jurisdiction, which means getting the document to the right person at the right place at the right time. The special instructions help guarantee that.
So once all those details are meticulously entered, the third step is simple. You just click submit.
The digital package is sent.
But now we hit a financial gate that is completely non-negotiable in the modern system. What happens right after that submission?
The administrative flow kicks in, and it's built to manage risk. First, you get a confirmation email. It says the upload was successful, the documents are secured on their end.
Okay.
But shortly after, a prepaid invoice is sent to your email for the service fees.
And this prepaid mechanism.
Yeah.
This is the absolutely crucial condition, right?
It is. The sources are clear. The service they commit to only proceeds after that invoice is paid.
So no payment, no action.
None. And this is an important insight for you, the listener. The server is being paid for their expert attempts and their time, not just guaranteed success.
That makes sense. Attempting service involves dispatching people, doing due diligence, incurring costs.
Right, regardless of whether the person answers the door on the first try.
So the prepaid model standardizes the whole financial transaction. It minimizes risk for the server and guarantees the client gets priority service the moment the payment clears.
And that commitment extends beyond standard business hours. The source material notes that process servers commit to 247 assistants.
24/7. For questions.
For questions about the upload process or status updates, yeah.
Why is that 24/7 availability so non-negotiable in this field? I mean, legal timing doesn't just clock out at 5 p.m. on a Friday.
That's the critical legal connection. The computation of response deadlines, whether you have 20 days or 30 days to reply, it starts the moment service is deemed complete.
Even if that happens at 7 p.m. on a Saturday.
Exactly. So if a lawyer is struggling to get documents uploaded at 11 p.m. to meet a deadline, they need immediate support. The logistics have to mirror the urgency of the court calendar.
That brings us perfectly into the next segment, because we're going to pivot from the efficiency of sending documents to the heavy implications of receiving them.
Mm.
So if you, the listener, had your information uploaded seconds ago, what are the immediate non-negotiable rules you need to follow? Especially about legal advice.
This is where we have to talk about the legal advice disclaimer in the source material, which is, I mean, it's the most critical point for anyone who gets served. It highlights the immense gulf between standardized logistics and individualized legal risk.
And the core warning is loud and clear. Any general information about the law or the service process.
Even insightful commentary from us.
Is not a substitute for specific legal advice.
Yeah.
They stress that every single legal situation is unique.
And this is where the system breaks away from standardization. The portal is standard, the fees are standard, but the legal implications of, say, a contract dispute versus a personal injury claim are wildly different. Applying blanket knowledge is incredibly risky.
So let's go back to that moment you get served. This raises a really important question based on the sources.
Mm-hmm.
What is the immediate non-negotiable step you have to take?
Well, whether it's a summons or a complaint, these papers carry critical response deadlines. The source material states unequivocally that if you have been served, the absolute first step is consulting with a qualified attorney immediately to discuss your rights, your options, and the time clock that has just started ticking against you.
And why the emphasis on immediate? What are the consequences of, you know, waiting or just relying on what you find online?
Because in litigation, rights are not given, they're asserted. If you miss a deadline to respond, even by a day, you could waive your defenses.
Or worse.
Or worse, be subject to a default judgment, which means the court just rules against you because you failed to participate. The time frame on those documents is literally the most valuable asset you have in that moment.
Wow. That really makes the distinction between the physical delivery and the interpretation so powerful. The server ensures the documents arrive.
And the attorney ensures you understand the existential threat those documents pose.
Now, staying within this whole legal logistics ecosystem, the source material introduces a fascinating layer of specialization. It hints at the complexity of it all by noting a distinction between a legal courier and a court runner.
This is a great detail because it shows the granularity required in this field. I mean, the average person might think both roles just move paper around.
Right, they're just delivery people.
But the distinction is functional. It's based on the destination and the task.
Okay, so what's the difference? Why does a law firm need both?
Generally, a legal courier handles the transport of documents, exhibits, whatever, between law offices or businesses. Their primary value is secure, tracked, fast transport. A court runner, however, they are highly specialized.
How so?
They deal almost exclusively with the courthouse itself. Their expertise is knowing the exact minute-by-minute local rules for filing, dealing with the clerk's office, ensuring documents are correctly timestamped.
Whereas you know the bureaucracy.
They know the bureaucracy inside and out, which can vary courthouse by courthouse.
And here's where it gets really interesting. The court runner is often dealing with filings that have to happen before a specific time of day to be valid for that day's calendar. That specificity must be what justifies the distinction.
That's the critical insight. The court runner is operating under the clock of the legal system's bureaucracy, where a difference of 10 minutes can mean a motion is heard this week or next month.
It's a high-stakes supply chain governed by strict liability rules. Okay, this has been a really detailed look at the machinery behind all this. Let's synthesize these key takeaways for the listener.
So we've established that modern service relies on high efficiency and at the same time, high caution. The service providers commit to accurate, timely service backed by 247 support because legal deadlines just, they never sleep.
And we walk through that digital protocol. You upload your documents, but you must enter all the required specific information, names, addresses, special instructions.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that payment via the prepaid invoice is the non-negotiable prerequisite. No payment, no action from the server.
And most importantly, we underscored that self-protection part. If you are served, the immediate necessity is seeking professional, qualified legal counsel.
You just can't rely on general information.
Because legally speaking, your situation is entirely unique.
The value here, then, is understanding that tension inherent in legal logistics. The secure portal is designed for mechanical speed and standardized input. You expect a defined delivery output.
Yet, that efficiency and standardization stand in stark contrast to the legal interpretation required on the receiving end. The documentation may have been delivered perfectly, but the meaning of that document demands individualized analysis.
Which leads us to our final provocative thought for you to consider.
Okay.
The sources underscore that while service is a logistical challenge solved by defined, standardized steps like secure portals and clear prepaid rules, interpreting the meaning of those served documents is inherently non-standard.
Right.
So given that every legal situation is unique, how does the system's demand for these highly standardized digital processes meet the reality of highly individualized legal outcomes?
The process is engineered for uniform speed and certainty, but the application of justice requires bespoke knowledge and analysis. That tension, that's the core dilemma of modern legal practice.
Something to mull over. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.